Hello, Red Spotters. Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Kyle Lira, and today we have another lovely edition of To the Table. Today we're going to be going over two movies. First of all, I recommended to Alexis Soto, my lovely co-host right here. I recommended him the Taika Waititi classic, What We Do in the Shadows, and it is in fact a classic because a lot of people deem it as his classic, so I'm going to call it a classic. And then he recommended to me the Wachowski film, Cloud Atlas. And boy,
which most consider a disaster of our time.
Boy, do I have thoughts. Boy, do I have thoughts. All right. So we'll begin with, I want to know, I'm dying to know, Alexis, what you thought of What We Do in the Shadows.
So this was co-directed by Jermaine Clement.
Yeah.
He directs.
Co-directs. He also directed a couple of episodes of Flight of the Conchords on Showtime and all that stuff. He's a musician and all that stuff, and it's suiting. And he's him and Taika. This movie started off with the concept of, it was a short film first that they did with the guy who plays Deacon.
Right.
And they did like a little short film of what it would be like. And that was pretty much like a demo reel of what it would be. And so then they actually got the chance to film it for reels this time. And that was pretty much the whole gist of the whole thing. I recommended this movie to you because it's without a doubt in my top 10 favorite comedies of all time, if not top 5. A lot of the humor works. I really love the mythos, like they kept to the mythos of vampire. And I really love the acting and the writing and the dynamic between all the characters. The characters are infinitively likable. I love Jermaine Clement's character, Vlad the Poker. He's amazing. Just a lot of things worked for this movie. It's pretty much like, it has irreverent humor, like how I like The Simpsons or Rick and Morty, and just irreverent humor like that. I really dig, and I thought, because you saw Rick and Morty, he recently got into watching it, and I thought, you know what, if he likes this, and he's definitely gonna like What We Do in the Shadows. Now, What We Do in the Shadows, you know, I just, out of the movie, I came out loving it, and to me, it's one of those movies that you could keep on watching like infinite times, and you could get something new and a new laugh out of it. Like, you point out what it is, and it's amazingly quotable. You know, a lot of quotes you could pick from that, and you're like, oh, that's from What We Do in the Shadows. And since then, I mean, it didn't do well in its first run at the theaters and stuff like that, but however, it's become there's a huge cult following from this movie, and I love it. It's pretty much this generation's Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, it didn't do well in the box office, but it's doing well so far. So, Alexis, tell me, what did you think of What We Do in the Shadows?
Well, kind of like, I know Peter said on the show before that he never really cared for concert films, that genre of movies. I would kind of be similar in the fact that I've never cared for anything related to vampires or monsters. I've never had the opportunity to see the classic horror films of Dracula or Frankenstein's Monster. Like, I know of them because at this point, who doesn't know of those classic monsters? But similarly, I'll even extend that to things like Godzilla or King Kong. Like, those kind of movies just have never interested me or fascinated me. So as far as like being appreciative of the mythos, I wouldn't really know about that. But based on what I do know from common knowledge of vampires, they did really much keep to that canon, if you will.
Yeah.
And they made a lot of use out of it. Overall, I have to say I really enjoyed the film. It was a great cast. There's a lot of what you said. There's a lot of Rick and Morty in there. Especially because it kind of is filmed like an office, like, you know, the show, The Office, mockumentary
it's like a
setting.
Documentary stuff.
And it's kind of weird because, like, it's kind of when it starts out, it's like it's two things, or the whole movie really, it's two things you've seen before done a thousand times. You have the mockumentary style and you also have the vampire movie. Like, how many times has that been done?
But the thing about that movie is that it marriages the two well.
And it creates something new that we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, at first, I'm like, okay, what the fuck am I watching? Like, seriously, you guys are picking some doozies for me. But, like, it felt more like a TV show at the beginning. Like, okay, what's going on here? Even though, like, everything was pretty entertaining and funny, and the humor lands really well.
It's an indie film.
No, yeah. That's what I kind of figured. The more it went along, the more I realized, okay, I understand what kind of movie this is going to be and what constraints it had. But mm-hmm. ultimately, this is what they wanted it to be, because, honestly, you can't tell me they didn't have complete control over this thing, because they really went to town on that. It was really interesting because, they do commit to this whole being vampire thing. Enough to the point where they actually kill people. Like,
yeah.
They fly, they turn into bats, they have fights with werewolves.
Werewolves, not swearwolves.
And you see, like, that's an amazing line. It's not particularly funny to me, because it's like, oh, how many times have I seen that? And, you know, Family Guy and all these different things. But as far as it, like, being in the movie, it works really well. Like, the humor is well balanced. It is witty. It is clever. Sometimes it is very, very just laugh out loud funny.
Mm-hmm. Some standout comedy moments for you?
I mean, there's this little bit where the cops show up.
Yeah.
And I guess they have this power to, like, you know, induce something over people, like regular humans.
Yeah.
And so, like, they walk in, and, like, obviously they get called up for a disturbance, because the day before, his name?
Their friend Peter.
Peter burned it to flames, which, yeah, I wish another Peter would do.
Oh my God.
And no, he burned into flames while shrieking.
Yeah.
Because a literal vampire hunter broke in as a result of the night before, where, yeah, Nick was telling people that he was a vampire.
Yeah, and during the morning, like, the sun reflected.
What the fuck are the odds of that? I mean, that's just the stupidest thing. And then it gets even, like, more.
He's like, turn the camera off. Our friend just went.
Yeah, that was a big moment. Like, really emotional. But then it keeps going.
I like when the cops came in, and the cops was like, I think not Deacon, Taika Waititi's character.
Yeah, I think it's I forgot
something. Anyway, he was like, you know, we don't want anything to happen, and, you know, If we kill them, more cops will come, possibly even Christians, which is the last thing we need.
That was the line right there, because possibly Christians, which is the last thing we need.
Yeah, I love that. Those little moments. I like how at the end, the big reveal that Vlad, in actuality, Vlad's ex-girlfriend was what he called the Beast.
Yeah.
And so he's like, get your hands on my balls, Beast.
We should have seen coming, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they kept showing, like, portraits and pictures of the Beast.
Yeah.
And it's like, at some point, like, we should have thought, maybe it's not an actual, like, monster.
Him, it's a monster.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I like little quotes, like, when he was, like, all depressed and all that shit. Like, he looked like he hasn't eaten, and you could tell, because he's, like, aging rapidly.
Right.
And he's like, let me do my evil dark bidding on the internet. What are you bidding on? A table. Just little stuff
well,
like
that. Well, I mean, also the whole Stu character.
Yeah.
It's just, like, everyone is just in love with him. But, like, I mean, he's the one that introduces the whole household to the internet.
Yeah.
And technology. And
he's kind of reduced to, like, their pet.
He is. Well, I wouldn't say reduced to. I think that's how he starts off being immediately, because they adore him. But, and it's like, they're so protective over him, where they're at an undead party and everybody wants to, like, eat him and kill him and everything. And then when they, like, leave, oh, let's pick a fight with these werewolves. I wonder what could happen. And yeah. then they fucking turn into werewolves. And then they kill Stu. Like, savagely and horribly.
And so now they have, like, a mutual friendship because of Stu.
Because he survived, and he turned into a werewolf.
The MVP of the movie is
right,
Stu.
Right, it very much is. But I think, in general...
Like some biscotti.
Oh, my God. See, like, that kind of stuff for me is just really, like, cheesy. But, like, they do it in a way here where it's like, okay... I mean, it works for what you're going for.
He's like, oh, Peter got them. And because Peter attacks Nick.
Yeah.
And that whole Nick Deacon dynamic is something else. I like in the there's like a bat fight sequence. And then he throws the bat to the garage and he transforms into Nick. Just little things like that.
You know, honestly, that whole bat fight sequence, I have to say... looked like it had so much more money thrown at it than Marvel's The Inhumans.
Oh my God. And that's true. You know, all the practical effects are really good. Like when they were going up against the walls and they were mm-hmm. like walking on the ceiling and flying, you know, dusting off shelves and all that shit. It looks like really well-made practical effects, you know, and you don't, it's very appreciative of that because it's like they had a limited budget and they couldn't, you know, blow it off on CG. You know, they did what they had to do and they made it work. Like when they were going up against the, you mm-hmm. know, the walls and stuff like that. I really love when they fly and they try to intimidate each other. That's amazing. Like you don't see the strings. You don't see the strings or anything like that, but you believe it's...
Hey,
you
know, if this was a Scott Buck production, you would have seen the strings.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you would have. I think that this is a fantastic film.
No, it is, and I still want to add more to it. Like, I really appreciated the whole, like, everyday aspect of this. Like, you never really considered, like a movie like this has never been done because I think, I mean, back then... this wouldn't be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And there are still things that shouldn't be taken seriously about this movie. As far as, like, the stuff that goes on there. But to be fair, though, they really do, as funny as it is and as ridiculous as it is, like, there's surprisingly, like, some heart. And you feel something for these people
like the
in the movie.
Like the person.
And they're, like, blood-sucking, like...
Yeah, the person who has the overall arc of the movie is probably Deacon.
Mm-hmm.
Because he starts off, like, hating, absolutely loathing Nick. And at the end of the day, it's him who... I mean, he's doing a poor job at it. But he, at the end of the day, he's trying to comfort Nick over losing a friend. You
a
know,
poor job? That was a pretty lousy job. What are you talking about?
But, you know, in his own Deacon way, that was him, like, you know, trying to comfort him. And because he lost a friend, too. You know, Peter was the one who turned him into a vampire, you know. And so then, and he had that connection with the friend. And they both experienced a huge loss in their life. So you got that, and then of course you have a Vlad the Poker, and he has his problem with his ex, and he stopped torturing people after a while, and then he goes right back to torturing after that experience.
I love how they they really pinpoint what era these people are all from, because they're from different eras and point in time in human history. Apparently, like Deacon's a Nazi, a vampire.
He's like, if you're a vampire. And if you're a Nazi vampire,
forget
no
it.
Way.
Taika Waititi is from the Victorian age, which
he's a dandy.
Right, he acts very much from that age.
Yeah,
I love how at the end he just bit his love, and then
she's an old lady now.
I love that whole bit with the whole age difference, but like I'm five times older than her.
People call us a cradle robber, but you know, I mean. Age is no thing. I mean, look at me. I'm much older than little bits like that.
And then Vlad's from what? Like, he used to be this, like, really powerful vampire.
Yeah, he's, like, a very powerful lord. And he was, like, he's based off Vlad the Impaler, an actual historical figure. And he's known for being a very cruel, very... very torture fetishy. And that's where they put the inspiration for Vlad. And
so you're pretty much describing Cersei Lannister.
Yeah, pretty much. He chooses violence, you see.
There's this bit where they were saying that he's lost his edge, and when he turns into animals, he always gets the faces wrong.
Yeah.
And then when they're trying to like eat Nick, and he's running around.
Yeah, and you see the cat.
And with Vlad's face on.
Yeah. Dermot Clement was amazing in the movie.
Yeah.
All the actors did amazing. It's
too bad he didn't perform Shiny, did he, Kyle?
No, of course not. But it's okay. I got Moana for that. Which, by the way,
go watch Pan's Labyrinth. That is an amazing movie starring Princess Moana.
Okay. Okay.
And also Moana, I hear, came out a couple days ago. Wait, no, months ago.
Yeah. Go watch Moana. It's on Netflix.
Because nobody else did.
Okay.
No, but in general, look, I thought this was a great cast. I thought this was excellent writing. It really is a showcase of a vision, and it was executed quite well. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put this as like the fun. Like, for me, I like more. I wouldn't know how to tell you what my kind of humor is. If people get blown up, I like that. If people made me more violent, horrific deaths, but
then you'll love Passion of the Christ.
Well, maybe, that may be a bit sadistic.
But isn't that your type of humor, though?
Maybe. We'll have to see. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's my favorite comedy, one of my favorite comedies. I think I definitely had bigger laughs than other. I'm just judging it in terms of laughs, but this is a really great movie.
I appreciate the movie because I've watched it probably 7 times already, and I get something new out of watching the movie.
Is that why you never stop talking about it?
Oh my god, it's such a great film. I mean, I can't pinpoint, you know, how amazing it is. Just go watch it, and you'll see for yourself. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that they did with the film that I was like, wow, they actually did that, you know? And the practical effects are amazing. I've said it before. The jokes, you get a new joke every time you watch it. It's kind of like Rick and Morty. Every time you watch the series, you get new jokes that you never got before in the first viewing or second viewing. You know, so it's just something that's, you know, never ending. Like, there's never ending joy to come out of the movie. I'm pretty sure if you were to watch it a couple more times, you'll get something new out of every single viewing. Taika Waititi, if this is how he directs and this is how he treats practical and effects like that, I am absolutely looking forward to Thor Ragnarok and just the way that he did. And a lot of people are saying, like, Chris Hemsworth is, like, saying that, you know, he's the best director I've ever worked with and all that stuff. So I'm just seeing this as the precursor to Thor is something that really helps me, like, look forward to it more.
And also just really, I think, with this film and then also when Thor becomes the big hit that inevitably will be, like, unlike some other film, you'll definitely start hearing about Taika Waititi as one of the up and coming, or right now he already is, but he's going to be one of those directors that will be a household name, Taika Waititi, which is one of the weirdest names I've ever heard in my life.
It's amazing though. That name is amazing. Taika Waititi. That sounds like an artist. final thoughts on what we do?
I liked it a lot. I enjoyed it. It was funny, clever, acted wonderfully. This is a, it's just a great movie. Go watch it.
Okay, Alexis, I have a very stipulating question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you make me watch Cloud Atlas?
Wow. I'm not sure if it was just me, but that seemed to come off as a very negative connotation.
We'll see. But tell me why.
Because it was a science fiction film. I thought when I watched the movie, it had a very interesting premise. I think the best thing about the movie is the premise itself, and what it actually does have all these different timelines. Like you have like five or six different things happening across space and time on Earth, but they're spread across among hundreds and thousands of years. It was directed by the Wachowskis, and it stars Tom Hanks, Halle Berry, Hugo Weaving, Ben Whishaw,
Jim Broadbent.
There's a lot of notable faces in this film.
Hugh Grant.
Yeah, and like for me, this was this is one of the most out there movies, and like I just picked this for you because why the hell not? I mean, you made me watch Face Off, so I guess I can make you watch Cloud Atlas. That's a preview for the next To the Table. For me, I just thought it was a wacky, kooky, enjoyable science fiction film. I know that Peter, I talked about it with him, and he and I thought the same about it. It's like, yeah, there are like some...
A lot of negatives.
There's like filmmaking and like perspective negatives to it, but it was an enjoyable film for both of us. So I just wanted to see how you would react to that. That's the only reason I picked it for you.
What a bold reason. I gave this movie 2 viewings. And
what do you do with your time?
Because I had to, like, in order to fully, like, review this, I was like...
It wasn't enough the first time. You got to go back in.
I don't know whether to like it or hate it.
That's the Cloud Atlas effect.
I watched it a second time, and guess what? Spoilers, I'm still in the same predicament. I don't know whether to like it or hate it.
Holy shit.
The acting is good. The acting is good. Two actors that I like, you know, in the same screen together. Mm-hmm. I like Halle Berry's work, and I like Tom Hanks, especially Tom Hanks, dude. It's Tom Hanks.
You give this thing 2 viewings and you still don't know what to make of it.
I want to care about this movie because I could definitely tell that a lot of aspects of this movie was well made.
Mm-hmm.
I like how a lot of actors, first of all, I'm going to go to the makeup department and say, I wish you kind of, I don't know, Grand Moff Tarkin'd it, because I was like, I could tell that somebody, you know, that somebody white playing Asian or something like that, and so it kind of threw me off that I knew that it was some other actor playing this role. That kind of threw me off because it was supposed to be like some sort of significant racial thing in that, and so I was like, okay, that threw me off. I want to care about all the characters, like the girl who defuncted from the serving industry.
Mm-hmm.
That right there was a compelling story. I would care so much more if I would have seen this congruently. I would have cared so much more for all these characters if they divided all these stories and that would have been your movie. Like one segment of the movie would have been...
Instead of going back and forth all over the place.
Yeah, okay. would have been this, because it was like trying to throw all this stuff at you.
It was jarring.
And it was not only jarring, it was pretty much overwhelming. And I would have cared so much more for the characters if I would have... Okay, here's the girl, the Halle Berry, and she's from the city, and she goes to like this small tribe, which is Tom Hanks's tribe, and them dealing with that shit. That would have been a cool little segment all in itself. Put that as one segment of the story, and then the other part would have been the I really love the whole escape from the retirement home. story. That was an amazing one. And just it was very early Edgar Wright-esque. Mm-hmm. And I like that. And put that as another segment. Put the whole investigate the nuclear energy kind of aspect with Halle Berry as the journalist.
At some point, though, that would have just been a collection of short films put together.
I've seen movies like that. Holiday, I like.
That's a lot, but this is way beyond Holiday, man. This is like six timelines you're talking about. Like, you're talking about putting the film, I mean, unless you cut some of those, which I think some of them could have been cut.
Yeah, I could have cut, you know, easily. I could have edited this movie to make it into that. You know, I could have easily formed it into these six different counterparts, and that mm-hmm. Would have been okay. I care about you guys more now because I'm seeing you live your life,
yeah.
You know, in a more congruent, not congruent, more parallel.
Right. Well, thing. I think there's this thing called non-linear story progression. So what you're describing is like it's not all happening in sequencing order. It's happening out in different places, and sometimes it feels like it's out of random and it's flashing back and forth.
Not out of random. I mean, I know that they were getting to a point at the end,
mm-hmm.
But the thing that really the thing that I was like. That the main complaint that I have about this movie is that they were throwing too many characters for me to care about at once.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, I want to care, but you're throwing so much at me that I kind of lose interest.
Okay.
You know, so I would have preferred to watch it, you know, in segments,
right?
You know, and watch your story first, and then watch this story next, and then that, and then that, and that would have made me more caring for all these individual stories, but which is a pity because I could tell that genuine filmmaking went behind this, you know, like especially when they went into that futuristic like I guess it's like Japan or something like that, and I see these different like that whole story was compelling. It's just I want to care about these characters, and you know, mm-hmm. and because the story in itself, you know, these ideas are great. I just want to care about these characters. Mm-hmm. And seeing this guy at the end, the guy from like I guess it was like early 1800s or something like that, pre-abolition, and his whole journey of he befriends an African American, and just the way that he, you know, he has that, like this bond, and he's like, oh, I saw you eye to eye, I feel your sympathy, I can't stress this enough, I want to care about these characters, but I just can't because it was too jumbled for me to individually mm-hmm. care about everybody.
Well, my response to that is that is entirely fair to you, by the way, what you're saying. And I get that. And for me, at the end of the day, I can't really say that I walked away with, I like to walk away from films loving characters and like getting to know them.
Mm-hmm.
This movie I walked away with, like, it didn't necessarily bother me that we had, I guess, little with them. Like, I thought, for what we had of the characters, I mean, they pretty much give you the bare to bone basics about what you need to know about them and their personalities. Uh-huh. And mind you, it had been a while since I've seen this movie, but honestly, like I got more character stuff out of this movie than I got with Dunkirk. And you're talking about non-linear like storyline and things being put in out of order. Dunkirk is like 10 times worse. Because Dunkirk, and not to attack Dunkirk, I said it's a good movie, but like, because it has a similar approach than what Cloud Atlas does, is that like the movie just throws things out at the same time. Like, there are several scenes were the three main groups of people you believe have finally reunited or they're together. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it was just a big, like, tease. Like, what I'm saying is, like, it makes it out to seem like two separate events that are isolated from each other mm-hmm. are the exact same thing happening in the exact same area.
Right? Which is further from the truth.
It completely plays with you. It plays with time. Some people that you saw in a boat last night, they're somewhere else the next morning, and you're like wondering what happened, and you cared nothing for any of the characters. Like, you know, you cared nothing for any of the characters in this movie. That's the way I feel with Dunkirk, because virtually nothing was given to those characters.
And to me, that's such a shame, because you go into a movie wanting to love characters, you know.
But I don't think it clearly was any intention of Christopher Nolan to give you anything like that. But as far as the Wachowskis, you know, I don't necessarily recall if characters are their best strength or their trait.
Some compelling characters in The Matrix and stuff like that. But,
like, I thought it was perfectly adequate. Adequate. I think that's the word.
Yeah.
I thought it was adequate for me anyway, what the characters were like in Cloud Atlas. It wasn't a big complaint, like, it wasn't Dunkirk for me.
If I were to, like, rate this on, like, a through F, I would probably give it a C+.
Because you still don't know whether to like it or hate it. Because
I still don't know whether to love it or hate it.
This is a mystery. I've never seen you like this.
I'm really on the fence about this film.
You're either one of the two extremes. It's either like love it or hate it.
I love it. I hate it. You know, I'm either two, but very, very rarely I am somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, for the first time in this series, I'm completely dumbfounded on a film, and I'm like, I didn't enjoy it thoroughly.
Okay, what's keeping you from hating it?
The fact that I could tell that there was, like, dedication into filmmaking.
Okay.
The filmmaker aspect, and that's what's preventing me from hating the movie.
It's ambitious as hell.
Yeah, it is ambitious as hell. That's the only reason why I'm, like, prevented from hating the movie.
Did you enjoy yourself in this movie? I mean, you saw it twice.
On some of the stories, I was like, okay, you know, I think here's what I'll do. Okay, here's what I'll do. I'll go to Adobe Premiere. I'll download the movie and put it into the timeline and edit the movie in a not sequential order, but, like, in different segments. Watch the movie like that, and then I'll give you a thorough review on Cloud Atlas, and then I'll be like, okay, I really love that movie. I don't know. I'm on the fence about this movie. I don't know whether to.
It sounds like you're leaning towards just not caring at all anymore.
I do care, because I could tell that the filmmakers cared about this movie, and I could see the caring, you know, towards this movie. But
if you don't care for it, it's fine. It's just like trying to get.
But the characters, I just did not give a shit about, because it was, too much thrown at me.
Oh, okay.
It was too much thrown at me. That's my final thought is, didn't love it, didn't hate it. Yeah. yeah, very rarely I'm in between. So that's it. So what are your final thoughts on Cloud Atlas?
It's a film that when I first saw, I thoroughly enjoyed. I had a good time with it. It's definitely one of the most unique films I've ever seen. Has a unique storytelling form. It's a very ambitious film. Honestly, based on what I have seen and heard, it's like the only other good Wachowski film aside from The Matrix. So, hey, there's something. I mean, it's definitely better than Jupiter Ascending, which is one of the worst pieces of shit I've seen in my entire life. Which, have you seen Jupiter Ascending, Kyle?
Oh, I have not.
You haven't?
No, I have not.
Okay, good. I'll write that down.
Oh my God, no. No. Okay. I should just lie, but oh well. This is the point of this series.
Yes, to torture each other.
Not to torture each other, but vindictive. To show each other different movies.
I choose violence.
Of course you do, you sadistic fuck. Anyway, I'm your host, Kyle Lira, and this has been Red Spotlight Entertainment To The Table. Check out our other To The Tables on iTunes at podcast.com. If you will, check out our After Darks. The last one that was ever done was Baby Driver, which was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Speaking of galaxy in a far, far away, check out our podcast on Sunday on
Spotlight every Sunday.
Every Sunday, we're gonna be delving into Colin Trevorrow and all that shit. It's gonna be great.
Happy days are here again.
Raise a martini glass.
And don't watch The Inhumans.
Watch check out our other To The Tables every Wednesday and Fridays. Without further ado, I'm your host, Kyle Lira. With me, I have Alexis Soto.
Yay.
Yeah. Such enthusiasm.
It's over. I'm done.
Anyway, check you guys into the spotlight. Bye.